Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. Today we're speaking with Eric Maldine, who's a senior manager with Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory. And Eric recently spoke at the 2015 UPO Annual Conference hosted by the Unclaimed Property Professionals Organization about how one size does not fit all when it comes to initial compliance options. And Eric, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Matt. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time. It's always a pleasure. And let's start from the top. You know, give us a brief overview of the topics you discussed during the session.
Well, Matt, what we did was we divided our presentation into five main areas to focus on. First is acknowledge the problem. After that, you perform the review. Then once you perform the review, where and when to report. Fourth is, are your compliance options, VDA programs available in the various states? And then finally, staying in compliance. So we'll discuss the second through the fifth areas a little bit further in a few minutes here. But I want to talk right now about acknowledging the problem. You're not going to get in compliance until you realize you have an issue and you need to report. All companies have an obligation to report unclaimed property. All companies have liability. And if you don't realize that or don't want to acknowledge that, then the rest of this is kind of moot. So the keys in acknowledging the problem are getting upper management support. So you're not going to get anywhere until you have an officer of the company or a controller or somebody high in the company that realizes, hey, you know what, this is the law. We have to remain in compliance. We need to get this done. So once you can get that, then you can determine some other things such as what operating entities are holding unclaimed property. So taking a look at your org chart and seeing, okay, what companies are the owners of the various disbursement accounts, which companies have customers where revenue comes in the door, because that's where unclaimed property, where the genesis of unclaimed property occurs, is in these checks, in these customer accounts. That's where these liabilities build up. And then finally, what's very important is determining for these operating entities where is your state of incorporation, because that goes a long way in determining the types of VDAs you're going to file, whether or not you're an audit risk, in what states. So once you can get to that point, then you can kind of really get into the meat and potatoes, I guess, of unclaimed property, and we'll discuss that in a little bit.
Perfect. Thanks for that rundown there. So let's expand a little bit more on the title of one size does not fit all. And can you expand on how the review process by company may not be the same?
Well, Matt, as you know, and as I know, I've been working in unclaimed property for over a decade. I know that no two companies are the same. And that certainly applies to reviewing unclaimed property. Even companies that are competitors and have maybe the exact same revenue have totally different ways of or totally different liability areas, review processes in place. So while the end result might be the same, which is 100% compliance, arriving to that point is a very different journey for each company. And there's many differences that occur. First of all, your company size and structure. You know, no companies are the same in that sense. Next, how centralized are your accounting operations? Do you have one area where checks are issued out of one centralized location? Are the bank recs occurring at one area? Or is everything very decentralized, maybe at different branches of your company? And then in that vein, what are the policies in place for handling outstanding checks within those decentralized areas? Is there a blanket policy and procedure for resolving uncashed checks, or is it different at every company? So if it's different at every company, potentially have a real mess on your hands because there's a lot of work involved in being able to get all that together. Also, what are the property types need reporting? You know, we all know about payroll and accounts payable and accounts receivable, but there may be some other areas in your company where their liability might generate. If you're in a publishing industry, you may have royalties issues. If you're obviously in the banking industry, you have dormant savings accounts. If you have some sort of a refunds program, those refund checks. So it's basically looking outside the box of those big three and determining what other areas of liability are out there. And as I previously stated, policies for issuing checks, remediating checks, and how long have those policies been in place? Have you had prior acquisitions? That's a huge area of an unknown, I guess, if you will. If you've acquired a company through a stock acquisition, you know, you're probably on the hook for any kind of liability that they may have if they've never filed before. So, are you private or are you publicly traded? You know, there's dividend checks, there's stock issues that can come about. And then, have you had any accounting system changes? You know, you may be on a system now that has great records, but say 2008 you switched, and prior to that you don't have anything. So those are kind of a whole gamut of issues that, you know, make it realize that there is absolutely a template for getting into compliance, but there's so many branches that go off of that. I think the one size does not fit all is a perfect title for this session.
Yeah, for sure. That's great rundown. Yeah, it certainly is a great title. So let's dive in a little bit more on one of your topics, which was perform your review. And can you give us a quick overview as to what that review may encompass?
Absolutely, Matt. Well, one thing I usually tell my clients is unclaimed property is not rocket science, but it is a very tedious and detail-oriented process to getting into compliance. So if you're serious about you know, reporting and capturing all of your liability, you really need to perform a lot of work to get to that point. So once you've established that you've acknowledged the problem, as we've already discussed, what needs to be reviewed? Okay, that's kind of the next point before we actually perform it, is what needs to be reviewed and what records are available. So one thing we always say is tell our clients is, how far back do you have bank reconciliations for your bank accounts that issue checks? Do you have outstanding checklists? How far back do they go? How were stale dated checks resolved? Say any item that's 6 months or older, how were those remediated? Why are those no longer on the outstanding list? Were they reported? Were they moved to an unclaimed property liability account? Were they written off an income? So how were they handled? Also, any void checklists. You know, when states come in and audit, or if you do a VDA in a formal state, you know, a lot of those states really like to look at the void lists to see, were there any stale dated voids, and what happened to those voids? Why were they voided? Was it a void in a reissue? Was it a void of written off an income? Was it void because it wasn't owed? Also, any kind of system reports that can validate all the bank records, check registers, things like that. And then also, if in kind of talking before about system changes, what are the availability of those legacy system reports? In addition, you also have, when you get an accounts receivable, the aging reports. How far back can you pull aging reports? Can you pull them on a quarterly or a biannually basis? Looking for any stale dated credits. If you've written accounts or if you've written items off into a GL account, can we get records of those GL accounts? Can we get into the detail and reconcile to those numbers that are in those accounts on an annual or biannual basis? Policies and procedures, as we discussed before. Do you have anything in place that's written to determine what am I supposed to do when I get a check that won't cash or on a credit that a customer won't take? And then finally, any previous state filings. You know, we want you to get there. I say it's when you're performing your review, previous state filings, there's a positive and a negative to that. Obviously, the positive is you've already filed some things and you get credit for that. A negative is, if you've already filed in a state and you have a lot of late property to report, and maybe a little more difficult to get into their VDA program, but it's something you definitely absolutely have to review to see if you've done any previous filings. So I think you can definitely see, Matt, that this is a very tedious process and not something that's going to get done in a couple of days.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a perfect segue into my next question. So once companies have completed their review and are ready to report, what are their options by state?
Yeah, Matt, you know, you can pretty much apply the one size does not fit all title when it comes to filing in the states. So that's why we're here, because there's a lot of states with a lot of different requirements. And to get into those VDA programs and being able to pay your past due property without the threat of interest and penalty, there's some hoops you have to jump through. So we break it down into five areas. The state requirements: informal, moderate, formal, none, and Delaware. Those are the VDA types that we break it down into. And informal is probably a little more than half the states, and a lot of times just a cover letter and a report would suffice. As long as you go ahead and continue to report annually, you're good to go. For a moderate program, you might need a little more information, such as you have to apply for a holder number. You have to fill out a VDA form. A little more work needs to be done, but not too encompassing. A formal program, definitely more time spent. You might have to send a methodology report. How did you get the numbers you got to? Completing a detailed questionnaire, submitting policies and procedures, and you may even get follow-up questions from the state. So definitely a lot more work needs to be done on these formal programs. None. California has no VDA program, so they're pretty strict on their interest. They charge at 12% per year for late property, so that can really add up, as you can see. So we always tell our clients, if you have California past due property, get it resolved before it's reported to the state. And then finally, Delaware. Delaware is another discussion for another day. Maybe we can set up another podcast for that one, Matt, talk about Delaware, because we won't have time to talk about that.
Right, yeah, no, that's for sure. Yeah, Delaware is a big one, that's for sure. This is awesome. You know, Eric, it's always a pleasure speaking with you and gaining your insights on this topic. Any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Matt. Appreciate the time. I do have one final thought. You know, getting into compliance and catching up on reporting all your past due property is very important. However, in my view, of equal importance is maintaining that compliance and making sure that unclaimed property, that it doesn't get put on the back burner at your company. So once you've gone through all the work and you filed your initial returns, you have to keep it up. You don't want to make that all for naught. So once you're expected to report on an annual basis, even if there is nothing to report. Now, there are a handful of states that do not require the filing of a negative return or a $0 return. So if you decide not to file in those states, that's fine, but you need to at least ensure that you've performed the review internally and that you've confirmed there's nothing to escheat. You know, with California, Michigan, and Texas requiring filings in the summer, and with the various due diligence requirements out there, unclaimed property compliance has really turned into a year-round process. In addition to that, there's state law, there's administrative law changes that occur every year, so you really need to stay on top of all of this. Our goal with our clients is for them to treat unclaimed property with as much importance as they do with the other reporting obligations, such as their sales and use tax returns or their personal property tax returns. You know, states such as Delaware are auditing companies that are not only reporting, but have also filed VDAs in those states. So these states are really going after companies, really trying to squeeze as much money as they can. So it's of utmost importance to not only get into compliance, but staying into compliance. Finally, record retention is key. The burden of proof is on the holder to prove compliance. So keep records for as long as you can. Keep copies of your reports. Keep copies of checks you issue to the state, and also the proof that the checks cleared. Auditors are asking for this when they come in. If you've said you filed, you need to provide copies of reports, copies of checks, copies of cleared checks, so in order for you to get the credit for those filings. So these are under audit. These are really the types of questions you want to be prepared for. So ongoing compliance is of the utmost importance.
Excellent. Excellent. What a great way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Dayton Local Tax and Advisory podcast interview with Eric Maldin, who is a senior manager with Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory. And as we discussed, Eric recently spoke at the 2015 UPO Annual Conference about how one size does not fit all when it comes to initial compliance options. And Eric, as always, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be with you.
Likewise. Take care.
You too.
Bye.